folks, and welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle news, The Bed Show. I am your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. We say this each week, we do love hearing from all of you, your comments, stories, ideas, especially if you have some shout-outs we want to give. Get a hold of us anytime, call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. Ryan Long, as always, is my producer, co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. Now, before we get too far into anything, I want to give a shout out because this was sent to me. And get this, Scott in Lowe caught a 73.29-pound lake trout at Blue Mesa Reservoir in Colorado.
That's not even possible. Are you reading that correctly? Did you hear it correctly?
Yes, I did. By the way, this came from one of our listeners, Renee. She's out in Colorado. Thank you for sending this in to us. Yes, a 73.29-pound lake trout was caught in Colorado. The fish measured 47 inches and was released alive after being weighed and measured. This catch qualifies the gentleman for the International Game Fish Association All Tackle World Record. Enlow's son, Hunter, had caught a 31-pound lake trout just 30 minutes earlier.
Where was that at in Colorado? Did Renee tell you where it was at?
Blue Mesa Reservoir in Colorado.
We're heading to the Blue Mesa Reservoir. Everybody now is going there in Colorado.
Tigger, what would you do? Because you like fishing for trout, okay? Imagine.
I just like fishing. I mean, it doesn't matter. I just love fishing. So what would I do if I would catch something like that?
So would you continue reeling it in, or would you think you had a snag? Because you got to admit, the drag on that had to be...
I have caught some pretty big fish in my day. And
tail.
But you're right, where a lot of times I thought, am I snagged on the bottom or something like that, where I've pulled in some pretty darn big channel cats?
Oh.
Or I've pulled in some northern where... Now, northern a little bit different, but the channel cats, I thought I was snagged on, like, what is going on? And all of a sudden, I got a channel cat on here. My goodness.
Well, regardless, I got to say congrats to the Enlows. That's one heck of a catch, if you ask me. All right, now that hunting season is upon us and you're looking for gear, get this. Tractor Supply Company has launched its expanded Field and Stream lineup just in time for hunting season. The rollout includes rugged, reliable hunting gear, pet products, and outdoor apparel available now in stores and online at tractorsupply.com. The partnership unites two outdoor icons with the Field and Stream, now co-owned by, in case you didn't know this, it's owned by country stars Eric Church and Morgan Wallen.
I did not know that they owned Field and Stream.
I was wondering if you knew this. I knew that they had.
I had no idea that they decided to buy Field and Stream in their portfolio.
Why not, right? They're all expanding.
Why not?
Doing bars, restaurants, why not own something like Field and Stream?
Do something different than buy a bar in Nashville, buy an outdoor store. I love it.
Well, they're offering premium hunting gear and trail cameras, blinds, and feeders, plus a new Field and Stream pet collection and classic outdoor-inspired apparel. The lineup is designed for those who live life out here. That's their new slogan. The new hunting collection expands on Tractor Supply's popular early launch from last June, featuring durable gear like the 350-pound steel deer corn feeder, praised by hunters for its capacity and resilience in changing weather. The pet line includes heavy-duty travel kennels, hunting-themed toys, camo dog coats, and the Field and Stream's pack provisions, a nutrition-forward family of foods and treats for active dogs. Just so you know, this is not a paid-for info commercial. I just found it interesting that Eric Church and Morgan Wallen had teamed up with their brand Field and Stream and brought it to Tractor Supply.
Nothing against Tractor Supply for having their own outdoor line, but I'm like you, I'm a little more fascinated that Morgan and Eric, they got together and they said, let's buy an outdoor company. That intrigues me.
Back to fishing records, or maybe jaw-dropping discoveries. Listen to this. Fishermen off Costa Rica reeled in such a discovery, a bright orange nurse shark unlike anything seen before. The 6.5-foot shark had two rare genetic conditions, exanthism, which boosts yellow pigmentation, and albinism, a lack of melanin. Together, they gave the shark its vibrant orange color and white eyes, a combination never before recorded in this species. The catch made off the coast of Costa Rica's Caribbean coast has now been verified in the journal Marine Biodiversity as the world's first scientifically documented xanthic nurse shark. The shark was photographed, unhooked, and safely released back into the sea. Researchers are fascinated by how the shark survived despite its bright coloring, which would normally make it more visible to predators. This discovery adds a new chapter to marine biology, highlighting the mystery still hidden beneath the Caribbean waves.
I think it'd be neat just to catch a shark regardless. Whether it be an orange one, it would be neat to snag a shark.
Why is it?
If it'd be orange, it'd be cool, but
I always feel, though, like if you would catch a shark, regardless of the size, color, which species it is, you'd have to have the Jaws theme playing, right?
Well, it's pretty common for those people that go fishing in the Gulf. Mm-hmm. We've talked with a lot of them over the years that they are fishing for this particular species and they're going to snag this kind of shark. That's fairly common.
I would agree.
I mean, it's not like a hammerhead or something like that. But
and lastly, according to ProRodeo.com, home of the PRCA, the 2025 Wrangler National Finals Rodeo will make history. For the first time since the inception of the National Finals Rodeo in 1959, quarter point scoring will be implemented by PRCA pro officials when judging rough stock events, including bareback riding, saddle bronc riding, and bull riding. The quarter point scoring system will be implemented at the NFR this year, according to Ron Howard, PRCA supervisor of pro officials. This system was used on a trial basis at Sioux Falls, South Dakota this fall and appeared to go over quite well. The use of the quarter point system will allow each of the four riding event judges at the NFR to use half points for scoring for both the rider and the animal if needed. This may potentially help to alleviate some ties. The quarter point system will also help to determine the awarding of the high marked stock scores each performance. The 2025 Wrangler NFR is scheduled for December 4th through the 13th at the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas. Now let's turn this over to our in-house PRCA announcer, Tigger. What are your thoughts?
I'm the only one that's in-house right now. a few of us, we were talking about this, and let me just first say this. It is really easy to be an armchair quarterback. It's really easy to be an armchair rodeo judge when you're watching the NFR at home and you're mad because you thought he should have been 89 and they only scored him 77. So I first very much support all of the judges. I am not a judge. I've never wanted to be a judge. And I think this system is going to help them out for that sole reason of the alleviate some of those ties that happen.
I can see where you're coming from completely.
It's just going to make, I think it's going to make it a whole lot easier. I know at first it's going to seem a little clunkety clunk, but again, I'm not a judge. I don't claim to be a judge. I've tried a little bit and it is darn hard. It is extremely, extremely difficult, I think, to be a judge. So I tip my hat to any of those guys and gals out there that are judges in the rodeo scene to try to stay consistent with what you're doing. But it's really easy for us at home to be judgmental on what we thought a score should have been.
I agree.
There
we do become armchair coaches. Is that what you called us?
I said armchair quarterbacks.
Oh,
because
that's
the same
what it
thing.
Was.
When you're watching a ball game, you know, and your football game, and it's really that's easy hilarious. To say they should have did that. Haven't you ever heard that before? Armchair quarterback?
No, I've never heard that before.
I've said that announcing rodeo. You don't even pay attention when I'm
well,
announcing.
Well, it's
because
I'm spinning the tunes
you're
at
busy
the rodeo,
doing other stuff.
Okay?
But it is really easy when we're watching at home. We don't see what they see. And the big thing is there's four judges that are located in different spots. You've got a judge on the left, on the right. You've got a couple judges behind the chutes. So they're looking for different things and they're seeing different things versus just the camera shot that we see on television.
I like how you just explained that to a lot of-
That's how it works.
That is how it works. But I can see how this could also help the contestants who, let's be real, by round 10 of the NFR, you're sitting there and you're looking at the standings, and if you've had to split a tie.
Some of it comes down to the cutting here.
Yeah, there's some serious money.
I can't say
money.
The type of cutting, but I mean, if you've been to our rodeos, you've heard me say it. But it comes down sometimes on some of the events to round 10, you know, right there. And that does make it for fun watching. You know, you get all excited like, okay, who's going to win the world in the tie-down roping or something?
Look at us. We are getting so stoked, and we're still weeks out from the NFR. But as you can tell, Tigger and I, we enjoy watching Vegas come to life, become country, especially. It's so sad. This year we don't get to go.
And I don't want to talk about that. We'll talk about that on another episode, why we don't get to go, which is dumb.
Fine. All right.
Just throw the break because now I'm pouty.
On that note, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to The Ben Show. We'll be back right after this. This is Beck. First, I appreciate all of you for listening and making The Bend part of your week. Many of you have asked, how do I catch past episodes? The answer is super easy. Head to thebendshow.com and click on the Shows tab. There you can listen to every episode all the way back to episode one. Podcasters, head to your favorite podcasting app and search The Bend. You'll find us. Be sure to follow and subscribe and never miss another episode again.
The hunt, the stories, the memories. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Let me capture and preserve that hunt, that story, that memory, with a trophy mount to last you a lifetime. Look us up on Facebook at JB's Wildlife Designs to see samples of our taxidermy and reach out at any time with any and all questions you may have. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs wishing you and yours a safe and successful hunting season.
You've waited, dreamt of a hunting adventure, and now have harvested that trophy of a lifetime. Keep the memory alive with a custom-designed mount preserved as a work of art. Check out our approved taxidermist. Depending on your location, the award-winning Schneider Taxidermy is located in Helena, Montana. When hunting the Dakotas, JB's Wildlife Designs in Mandan, North Dakota, then Shadron Creek Taxidermy in Nebraska, and for the Central USA, Little Rack Taxidermy in Macomb, Illinois. Reach out to The Ben Show and let us help you find the right taxidermist. Welcome back to The Ben Show. I am your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. Ride along as always, my co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. Hunting season deer rifle opener has kicked off where we are located. First off, good luck to everybody that's out there. Hopefully you got a tag.
Hopefully you fill your tags if you got one.
Yes, yes, exactly right. How many of you are excited? First off, do you have everything with you in order to take care of that trophy once you knock it down? Do you have everything with you? I'm just asking.
Are you thinking, like, take your gun with you? Wait, you forgot. Did you forget that once?
No, I've never forgotten that. But
what you did, though, you forgot something, and that's why you're bringing this up. In the past,
I know
and you
somebody.
You have been a very avid deer hunter your whole life from when you were a wee one.
No, get this. You want to know how avid of a hunter I was? I was raised to be one. My bedroom growing up was my dad's reloading hunting room. Yes.
There ain't nothing wrong with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I grew up with everything on the walls.
and now it's the same way at our cabin. It's covered with weaponry everywhere. Okay,
firearms. Yes. Well, I'm looking at this and I have not left the gun behind. However, I have accidentally forgotten my deer license and had to turn around and drive home,
grab that,
and put it back in my hunting pack, which I'm going to tell you right now. Now you're all sweating right there because I know I'm not the only person that has done this before, gotten out to the field and gone, oh, I didn't
forgot your license.
Or Oops. You forgot, make sure you have your driver's license with too, not just
Good
your
point.
Hunting license.
Good point. You kind of get excited for, you know, for the orange to come out.
Here's the other thing quick. I want you to double check your backpack. Like if you're not like us, I would recommend considering this. Tigger and
have
I
to have a Tigger in your life that goes through everything.
No, I had a bag. I had my stuff before you were in my life.
But you forgot your license. Okay, continue.
Just one time and no one forgets that. But what I was getting at is Tigger and I each have our own hunting bag, our own hunting pack, as I will call it. We both use backpacks, but our gear stays in there. And at the end of the season, we replenish it right away so that we know. But then we double check again before we leave. And that's what I'm suggesting is if you're one of those that just throws everything in a plastic sack and tosses it in the rig, you might want to consider asking for Christmas maybe for a hunting pack.
You know, and there is,
they're not expensive.
And there's nothing wrong if that's the type of person that you are, that if you're maybe you've got your own land and it's just kind of a common everyday thing.
Right.
I totally get that, but we are very much be prepared for just about anything, even an upset tummy.
Oh my gosh.
That you're out because it has happened. Come on, let's just call a spade here. It has happened.
So yes, Tigger makes sure there's extra TP in both of our bags. Yeah, always.
Always.
The other thing we always make sure we replenish, as I'm going through my brain, my mind is going here, is we make sure we have our knives with, and we make sure they're sharp. Now, if you're not one that is into really spending a lot of time to sharpening your knives, I will say this is what Tigger and I have changed to. This is not paid for. This is just giving you our very honest opinion what we use. We use the Outdoor Edge knives because they have a quick replaceable sharp blade. Okay?
And they are not expensive
not at all.
Game changing.
We've had taxidermists bring this up to us because it is so important when you go to skin the hide on that trophy that you are skinning it with a sharp knife so that you don't end up putting holes into the hide. You see where I'm going at with this?
And can I add something too, where if you don't know, or if you need a refresher course, like how high do I cut in the chest or where do I go to make sure you don't cut up too far in the neck, right? Mm-hmm. Call the taxidermist and just before you go and say, hey, Joe, give me a quick crash course again. Because when we talk to our taxidermist, they are always telling us horror stories.
Again,
from very seasoned hunters.
Yes, again and again they're telling us horror stories. How often do you find out that individuals have gone and say you've cut the hide up past the chest area, now you're getting close to the neck? No, don't do that. Call ahead and just find out if you need a refresher. It's worth it, okay? Because some of those fixes can't be fixed.
And we're talking about depending upon...
if you're getting a head mount.
If you're getting a head mount or how you want to preserve said memory.
And I'm going to bring this up too because sometimes people get into the mindset that they should... say they have a doe tag and they're like, well, I'm just going to, you know, take it out in the head or something like that. Well, here's something I'm going to bring up, okay? A lot of times people overlook that that hide is actually worth a dollar amount too. So it might even be good practice with the youth that you aim where you typically would, on a trophy animal, but then you skin it out just to practice. And then you might be surprised. Your local taxidermist might be willing to give you $50 for a good hide.
It's worth it. I got to brag on you and all your hunting that you've done. And I'm not just kidding, y'all. She has some absolute beautiful, beautiful trophy mounts that we have in this house and lots of them. But you have always practiced. If you cannot have that one shot, one kill, and harvest humanely and properly, you will let that one pass by. You've always been very good about just being a very good outdoors person, a steward of the land. I got to brag on you about that.
Well, thank you. You just made both my parents proud, I hope. I think you did. Thank you for saying that. The other thing I want to remind you is that when you talk to your taxidermist, make sure you find out what the time frame is. When I'm talking time frame, I mean from harvesting, taking down that animal to actually getting it to the taxidermist. They typically like you to cool down that animal really quickly. And some of those taxidermists might say, we need that animal within 24 hours, or they'll tell you how they want you to take care of the cape as well as the head in order to preserve it accurately until you can get it to the taxidermist. And when I say that is, I see it often happen. People are excited. They've caped it out. The head is still there. And then they put it in a garbage bag and they tie the top and they don't put the ears the way they are naturally. And say for a mule deer.
Oh, that's a good point.
Mule
deer
have huge ears, okay? Think about that. You don't want to go and pin those ears back and then freeze them and then rigor mortis sets in.
Right, and throw it on back of the truck.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Reach out to your taxidermist. And then the other thing is when you visit with your taxidermist, make sure you understand their time frame and your expectations. Tigger's here shaking his head because I had warned him, and I've talked about this, I think every year I talk about this, that taxidermy does not happen overnight, okay? It costs and it takes a lot of time.
And this was because last year, in all transparency and honesty, this was my first one that I ever got that I am doing a full mount on.
Yes, and I'm so excited about it.
Last year was the first time in all my years. So obviously I was excited, and you were like, no, you're not going to get it tomorrow or something like that. And it has been over a year, and that's okay. I'm not calling and nagging him or anything like that. When it's my time will come up.
You see, yes, that's how it goes. Now, has Tigger been kind of anxious a little bit? Of course he is. And he's already got it envisioned of where this is going to hang on the wall in the cabin. But I have, in my own experience, I can say I have maybe had one animal come back within a year. Typically, it's 18 months. That's usually what the average has been for me. I've had some that go over 2 years.
And especially if your taxidermist is very popular for a particular style.
Correct.
And you want that. It could be even longer. So it's well worth the wait. And for me, mine is a little bit special, a little bit different. We're incorporating a little habitat into it. So for me, I am just being patient to wait when it comes by.
So we talked about,
'cause I've kind of forgot about it. I'm moving on to this year now already.
Well, we've talked about the time, but then here's the other side I say about the financial side of it. And just so that you aren't surprised, it is very common for taxidermists to have you make a deposit that can be as much as half the price of the mount or more. So I just want you to be prepared and make sure you understand the terms and conditions of getting any taxidermy work done. Make sure you check with your local taxidermist. On that note, we're going to take a short break, crew. You're listening to The Ben Show. We'll be back right after this.
Is there that particular pair of boots or that shirt or pair of jeans that you just can't find anywhere else? Check out Medora Boot and Western Wear. Medora Boot and Western Wear is the go-to for boots, jeans, especially jackets, and even those hard-to-find accessories that make perfect gifts. Check out MedoraBoot.com, or better yet, give Kim a call at 701-623-1005 and tell Kim that Tigger and Beck sent you. For the latest in Western and outdoor practical and fashionable wear, there is only one, Medora Boot and Western Wear.
Hey guys and gals, this is John Armand with Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV. Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV travels the back roads to the backwaters in pursuit of the ultimate adventure in hunting and fishing. Join Team UOA every week for exciting action in the crosshairs of the outdoors. Catch Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV on YouTube, Amazon Prime, and make sure to follow Team UOA on Facebook and Instagram to share in the ultimate outdoor adventure.
Get ready for this, an unforgettable experience at Cattlemen's Week 2025 Annual Pheasant Hunt, hosted by Jorgensen Land and Cattle. November 20th through the 23rd at the Lazy J Grand Lodge in Ideal, South Dakota. Enjoy world-class pheasant hunting while building connections and sharing insights with fellow cattlemen, women, and industry professionals. Whether you're a seasoned hunter or brand new to the sport, there's something for everyone. Register online at ranchchannel.com or jorgensenfarms.com. Mark your calendars for Cattlemen's Week 2025. Camaraderie, conversation, and pheasant hunting at its finest. Welcome back to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle, The Bend Show. I am your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. And right along, as always, my co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. We were talking about hunting season right before the break. We're going to continue on that topic, except we're turning towards the food. What do we do with that venison after we've harvested our trophy? Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. You know that jar of pickles that you only have a couple pickles left and there's juice still left in the jar? Don't throw out the pickle juice. Once
mix it with your beer.
Oh my God.
I've tried that. It's not bad. Yeah, I'm just saying.
That sounds like a hangover cure is what that sounds like. Okay. Well, now you might be thinking, pickle juice, Beck, where are you going with this? Well, I recently did this with pheasant that we had. I chopped up the breasts into small little pieces to make nuggets out of them. Instead of chicken nuggets, I made pheasant nuggets. And Tigger, you were surprised. You said you would never have guessed they had soaked for an hour in pickle juice prior to being cooked.
I thought I was eating chiggy nuggets. I did. I thought they were chiggy nuggets. I didn't think they were pheasant nuggets. It was really, really, really good. And it didn't have this really aggressive pickle taste whatsoever. I mean, I thought they were going to after you said that they were soaking in pickle juice.
So here's the deal. This is why pickle juice makes a perfect brine for venison, because it effectively tenderizes the meat and also kind of takes away that distinct tangy flavor that venison
can. Kind of
can.
That gamey.
Yes.
I get it.
And the reason why it does that is because a brine like this has lots of salt, vinegar, which acts as an acid, and then other spices, and it breaks down those muscle fibers and also aids in moisture retention, which is huge when you think about these lean cuts of meat that we're dealing with. Wild game is always very lean. You want to be considerate of keeping that moisture in it. Keep those meats good.
And if you've had those cuts of meat that are kind of tough, like a roast or something like that, we've done that with roasts and they've turned out fabulous.
So if you're wondering what works, steaks, tenderloins, backstraps, brine them for 1 to 3 hours to avoid that meat becoming mushy. If you have roasts, that might take up to 24 hours, but give it a try. Give pickle juice a try.
Save the pickle juice is what you're saying. Recycle, adapt, and overcome. Save the pickle juice.
And don't be afraid to have fun with it. Throw in that Dijon mustard, maybe some onions, garlic cloves. Have fun. We're going to call this show wrapped for this week, folks. Remember, keep sending us in any of the questions you might have. If you have something we should give a shout out to or spot worthy for us to share, as well as your area's field reports, we want to hear about those trophies. That number again is 305-900-2363. Again, text or call anytime. 305-900-2363, or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of this show or want to hear past episodes, you can find them all on the website, thebendshow.com. And be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting app and to The Bend Show YouTube channel. Finally, a big thanks to all of you listeners that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me, Beck, all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch Beck if you can next week on The Bend.